Well, we're talking now about the joy of vocal witness, and finally we reach the joy for ourselves. Remember, we started and we said the whole idea, maybe it's a new idea, that there's a joy in being a vocal witness. Part of it goes back to the book of Acts. Remember, they were beaten for talking about Jesus, and they rejoiced. The word joy is in there. They rejoiced that they could suffer for Jesus. And the same for us. We want to get to that point where we testify about Him with a smile and not as a burden, and where we can't wait to tell somebody about Him. We will reach that as more and more we be that. And so we've been talking about, do you hear it? Do you believe it? The joy of being a vocal witness, not something that we're afraid of, not something that we ought to do. Just think, for example, when you get a good deal at the store, you want to tell somebody else. When you've had a good meal, if you go to restaurants, you say, hey, we were at this place last week. When something works for you as a parent, somebody says, I'm having such trouble in this way, you say, well, you know what worked for me? Or maybe it's an addiction. How did you escape your addiction? And somebody wants to hear about it. We love to share things like that. And we share it with joy. We share it with a smile. We share it with eagerness. Don't we even say sometime or leave a message, hey, I can't wait to tell you? Well, that's the way they were in the New Testament. They said, we can't wait to tell you. People looked at them and said, but wait a minute, they're ordinary and everyday people. Then they took notice of them, that they had been with Jesus. And they said, we can't help but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. Here's a great lesson. You heard about Job in the Old Testament. A lot of troubles. God was letting him go through them. God was purifying him as gold. And Job struggled with God for a long time. And then finally Job submitted to God. And he said, you know what? At the end of the book he said, I had heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now my eye sees you. That's so beautiful. For some Christians, we've heard about Him for a long time by the hearing of the ear, but we never saw Him with our eye. Those people in the book of Acts, they saw Him. They knew Him. They touched Him. He became part of them. He was real for them. They didn't know about Jesus. They knew Jesus. And then when they were threatened, they said, we can't help it. We've got to talk about what we have seen and heard, we who have been with Jesus. And that's the joy. When it's in there, you don't have to drag it out. I had a grandson who loved Legos. I never had to tell him, now go play with your Legos. I have other grandchildren actually, who are in sports. I never have to tell them, now go practice. It's something that they love. Well, imagine when you've met Jesus, more than by the hearing of the ear, when your eye has seen Him, when you're in love with Him, when you just say, I love you. You're great. You're everything to me. Then it comes out, not as something you have to do, but as a natural expression. And one more thing. The early church grew that way. It didn't grow by learned persons. It didn't grow by people who had had all sorts of training, but the ordinary, everyday witness of everyday, ordinary people is what grew the church. And that's what still has to be today. And when we share the Jesus who is in our hearts, that's when we become whole persons, because He's part of us. If we neglect a certain part, then we're not a whole person. And because Jesus is part of us, that's our whole self that's talking. So we're going to pray about it and then talk finally about how the joy of vocal witness is for us, and that's okay. Oh, Father in heaven, and Jesus, our Savior, you're everything to us. You have made us, and you have remade us. We belong to you. We believe in you. We believe in your word. We love the Bible. And when we share the truth about you with others, we do it for you. We want you to be praised. We want you to receive all the glory. And when we share the truth about you with others, we want them changed. We want them to enter into your family, to become your children. And now we're going to talk about the joy of vocal witness and what it can mean in our lives. Thank you for that. We love you. Amen. Well, one of the joys for ourselves, and remember we said it's okay. We can love ourselves, love your neighbor as yourself. You have to love yourself. One of the joys for ourselves in sharing Jesus vocally is that it grows our faith. Listen to this. This is a marvelous verse. Philemon chapter 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. We say, this happened so that this happened. We say, I do this so that I can do that. So that is a result. It rained so that we could not play the ball game. That's the same in this verse here. If you are active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of what it means to be alive in Christ. Somebody asked Billy Graham once, what is the fastest way for a new Christian to grow? And what would you expect? Oh, read your Bible. Oh, pray. Oh, go to Bible class. Oh, go to school. You know what he said? Teach a class. I've seen that. Every time I teach a class, I learn so much. I wonder, did they learn anything? Because I sure did. From different insights, from different ways of looking at things. And when I share my faith, it's the same thing. Just recently, I was sharing my faith with a person, and all at once the door opened, and she was telling me about pain and suffering and betrayal in such a way that I had never understood it before. And I went home a chastened person, and I thought, if I ever dare preach about that again, I'm going to have to talk to somebody like that who went through such experiences. And every time you share your faith, it's not just a matter of, there, that's done. But it's an experience, a meeting. I shared my faith with another person about just 2 weeks ago. And once again, to hear where that person came from and what that person needed and how Christ could answer the questions in that person's life, I'm just astounded. And I go home and I just say, thank you, Jesus, for letting me learn those things. Well, Billy Graham said, if you want to learn, teach a class. Do you want to learn? Share your faith. There are other ways that we learn about our faith. There's one I recommend. I don't think any Christian should ever be without it. Every day of your life, by yourself, to read the Bible and to pray. You don't have to read the whole Bible. You don't have to pray for an hour. Start with 5 minutes a day if you're not doing it. And just for 30 seconds, here's a 5-minute plan for you. 30 seconds, pray. Just say, Jesus, open my heart by your Holy Spirit. For 2.5 minutes, read the Bible. For 1 minute, write down what you learn. Is it something you have to give up? Something you have to do? Somebody you have to forgive? And then for 1 minute, pray about that. Just pray about what you're going to do from what you read after you had prayed for an open heart. 5 minutes, a couple things will happen. One, it'll begin to transform your life. Number two, pretty soon it'll be 7 minutes and 10, and then you're on the way. That's another way to grow in your faith. Another is to go to Bible class, another to Bible school, another is read books, all sorts of things. But did you ever think of this one? What it says here? When you share your faith, you're going to understand your faith. That is just a great thought. You know what's fascinating? He's writing this to them only 35 years after Jesus died. Remember, we started way back there and talked about fear as being one reason why we didn't share. Another lack of enthusiasm for it. Another becoming overly familiar. This is only 35 years after they were saved. 35 years after the whole church was formed. 35 years after they were in it. And he has to say to them, I pray that you'll be active in sharing your faith. I mention that so that you don't beat yourself up. That's part of human nature, part of Satan's work in us to dull our senses, to take away our enthusiasm. But here, 35 years after Jesus died on the cross, he has to say, I pray that you will do a vocal witness. And look what happens when he does a vocal witness. You will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Great way to grow. That's for you when you're a vocal witness. There's another thing for you when you're a vocal witness, and that is, oh, this is fantastic. You secure a treasure. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19 and 20. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Jesus is coming back, that's for sure. And what are we going to be rejoicing about when he comes? Oh, Jesus, I won this Oscar. Oh, Jesus, our team was the champs. Oh, Jesus, look at this house we built. Oh, Jesus, look at the way we fixed up the bathroom. We painted it and put tile in. Oh, Jesus, I went to school. I got all these degrees. Oh, Jesus, I was a religious person and we built this huge church. When Jesus comes back, what are you going to be rejoicing in? Think about that. What is he saying? What is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? What is it going to be? Jesus is coming back. He says in that book of Thessalonians, someday the trumpet will sound and the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And we will see him face to face and we'll be caught up together with him in the air and we'll be with him forever. What are you going to rejoice? What are you going to be thinking about? What did he say? Is it not the people I led to Christ? He says to those people in that church there, the church he started, where he went and preached the gospel, and they believe, you are our glory and our joy. Do you believe that about yourself? All those things that we think are so important in this life, what is it going to matter? And when Jesus comes back, we're going to see somebody there, because he's going to take people with him, saints with him. Oh, that person accepted Jesus when I testified. Oh, there's one. Oh, that whole family, because the Father accepted Jesus and his whole family's there. And Jesus is coming. Jesus, the greatest vocal witness of all time. And he will come for you. And what do you think you're going to be happy about? Not about any of this other stuff. Here's an interesting story. I have a friend who comes from the southern part of this country. And his aunt died. He went down there to the funeral. He was from there too. And in the coffin, she was lying there. And she had a carton of Camel cigarettes in this arm. And she had a great big liter of Diet Pepsi in that arm. Lying in the coffin. Like she was going somewhere with that. What are we going to have in the coffin when we're there? You know, My son-in-law died a number of years ago, left 5 small children, lots of nieces and nephews. And at the funeral, the little children were bringing gifts and putting them in the coffin there. A little Lego toy, a special stuffed animal, a little note, because they loved them so. What are you going to be carrying when you go to meet Jesus? Paul says, you know what? The only thing that is our joy, our crown, or what we would rejoice in when Jesus comes is the people who have been saved. The Bible talks about 2 things that last forever. Only 2 things. Number 1 is the human soul. We will never die. We will spend eternity somewhere. We'll spend eternity with Jesus, or we will spend eternity without Jesus. But we will spend eternity. And every person who has ever been made will be raised up again in the body, soul and body connected together. Some to spend eternity as a whole person in the presence of Jesus. Some to spend eternity as a whole person apart from Jesus. But one thing is sure, you are going to last forever. And those people you know who are Christians, and those people you know who have not yet become Christians, they are going to last forever. That's one thing the Bible says, lasts forever. The other thing is the Word of God. The Word of God never changes. God always was, is, and ever will be. The Word of God lasts forever. So if you can take the Word of God, which lasts forever, and get it into the soul, the heart, the mind, whatever you want to call it, of a person who lasts forever, then you're putting those 2 things together that last forever. And the person you know, when you've shared a vocal witness with that person, who accepts it, says, I believe, remember we saw the verse, that person is sealed, is put in a safe, and the name of that safe is Jesus. And that person is kept safe. Jesus said, you're in my hands. Nobody's going to pull you out of my hands. And he said, and if that weren't enough, I'll put my hands in my Father's hands and no one will ever get you out of there. That right beginning now, when that person you know accepts your vocal testimony, that person is safe in Jesus and will be forever and ever. You know, we know better, don't we? We know that the days in winter are shorter than the days in summer. We know that the sun comes up every morning and sets every night. We know we're not going around in a circle. We know we're moving along on a timeline. The last time I checked, the death rate is right around 100%. We all, the Bible says, must stand before the judgment seat of God. The Bible says, it is appointed unto every person at one time to die, and after that, judgment. We know that. And what are we spending our time on? I've never seen, in this country, when someone dies, we have funerals, and we have a big vehicle that carries the coffin to the grave site. I've never seen a trailer behind one of those big cars that carries the coffin carrying suitcases or TV or medals or statues, anything we've earned. It all stays behind. The only thing that lasts is the everlasting Word of God in the everlasting soul, heart, or mind of a person. And you and I, that will be our treasure. When Jesus comes back, we're eager for it. Christians yearn for that. We wait for Him to come. When He comes back, all I want to do is kneel at His feet. And if through me, those who have responded to His word, through my vocal testimony and believed, that's my gift to Him. The joy of a vocal testimony.